It's Mother's Day today. I hope you have some special plans. My mom is with the Lord, and I'm glad for her. Not glad for us, but glad for her. It's a great place to be, isn't it, with the Lord? Only a mother could work all day and almost miraculously put an incredible dinner on the table in what seemed like 5 minutes. It seemed like my mom mastered the oven at one time. When I was real young, it was the deep fryer, and then she found out how bad that was for you. I have these vague memories of this wonderful fried chicken with batter crust. It's one of those things that, you know, is so far in your memory, it's almost like it's legend. But it was good. Then she mastered the pressure cooker, the crock pot, and in the final years, the George Foreman grill. I learned to cook from my mom. In fact, I learned something about cooking when she went in the hospital. I think I might have been in junior high school. And I decided to make goulash. I mean, how hard can that be? You just make the macaroni, the hamburger, you put a little onion in and some spaghetti sauce, mix it all together, and you have it. But I found out that you can't slow cook macaroni. I tried it. It came out in one big lump. But since then, I've learned how to cook it and a lot of other things. I learned how to cook Mom's chocolate chip cookies. I make them bigger than she did. I didn't learn how to make all of her cakes and other kinds of cookies. Mom would have been a good FBI agent. She just kept you talking until she knew everything. Incredible interrogation skills. She knew things about my kids that I just didn't know myself. But there's only some things a mom will know. This is a little poem called, Mom, What's It Like? When you felt the foot within your womb, when the infant cry first filled the room, to think that you in heaven just circled the moon, what's that like? And the day the bus pulled to a stop and you zipped the jacket up to the top and placed a kiss on a 5-year-old's cheek and waved goodbye and then saw the trike, silent and still, what's it like? The first time you noticed his voice was deep, the first time she asked if you were asleep and wanted to know when love was real, and you told her, how did you feel? Then the candles were lit. She came down the aisle. Did you weep? Did you smile? And when your child told you the news and in the quiet of the corner asked for clues, Mom, she whispered, what's it like? What you told her, would you tell us? Indeed, what was it like? Now that's the poem. But yeah, what was it like? What was it like for Mary with Jesus? Talk about turning a world upside down. When the angel came to Mary and said to her, you're going to have a baby. What a beautiful picture. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Didn't say that in her yearbook, aspired to be the mother of the Messiah. But she indeed was the first one to be indwelt by our Lord. What it must have been like for Mary. And yet that's the way it is to be with us as well. Listen to these verses. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. There was to be something fundamentally different between the way it was in the Old Testament and the way it would be in the church age. Christ would not be with us, he would be in us. What a difference. What a change that would make in our lives. Paul, in his great prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God." That's our pleasure today. That should be our desire today, to know his presence in us, to experience moment by moment that fellowship with God, that oneness with him. Paul said it again in Colossians chapter 1. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." He is in me, and it's the hope, it says here, of glory, of future glory with him. But presently it's that abundant life that we experience because of his presence in us. And we should be satisfied with nothing less. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me remind you again that Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." That there is a place in the heart of the believer that is set apart for the residence of God. And he willingly comes in and becomes a part of our lives, as he certainly became a part of Mary's life and changed her life from that point forward. When we open our lives, when we open our hearts to the Lord Jesus and he comes in, then everything from that point on changes when he becomes our Lord. He had a relationship in the Old Testament with his saints. Zephaniah chapter 3 said, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." What it must have been like for the people of Israel to know that God himself was in their midst. We pray for that in our sanctuary, every invocation, that the Lord would be here. But he should be present in each one of our lives in a very special way. Deuteronomy 31, Verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He will be with you. That was the Old Testament relationship that people had with God. I will be with you. And it was something to be celebrated. The presence of God with them. God was with Adam and Eve walking in the Garden of Eden. And what a pleasure it must have been for them to walk with God in the cool of the evening. But there seems like there was a time when God wasn't there. God was with Abraham, the man God called his friend. And yet there was a time when Abraham didn't feel the presence of God. When there was a famine and he went down to Egypt. Or when he was with Abimelech. And he felt God was just there in Israel. And when he went away from Israel, God wasn't there. God was there, but he didn't realize it. God would never leave Abraham. He didn't realize it, though. God was with Moses and the children of Israel in the cloud of glory during the day and the cloud of fire at night. God was with them. They could see the fire. They could see the cloud. God was with them. God's special presence dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the midst of the tabernacle and later in the temple. God was with his people. God was with the disciples. And he walked with the disciples for 3.5 years. He walked with Peter in a very special way out on the water. John leaned on Jesus at the Last Supper. Peter, John, the rest of the disciples, followers of Jesus, were with him. There were times when Jesus wasn't with them. Mark chapter 1, Peter went out looking for Jesus. Where were you? What are you doing? The people are looking for you. We have a different relationship than the Old Testament saints. Even the closest of the Old Testament saints, Enoch, who walked with God and was not because God took, even Enoch, he walked with, God was with Enoch. But Mary started something different, didn't she? God would be in us. God in the believer. No longer a baby, he is a life-changing force in our lives. He changes us. He makes us the people that he wants us to be. Christ grew in Mary until he had to come out. That happens. No matter how late you are, eventually the baby is born. Christ will grow in you until the same occurs. He will come out in speech, in your actions, in your decisions. Every place you live will be a Bethlehem. And every day you live will be a Christmas. Can't stop drinking? Christ can. And he lives in you. Can't stop worrying? Christ can. And he lives in you. Can't forgive the jerk, forget the past, forsake your bad habits? Christ can. And he lives in you. The Bible says, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power that works mightily within me." He's in us and he comes out. That was the personal testimony of the Apostle Paul. He called himself the chiefest of sinners or the greatest of sinners. We would call Paul a terrorist today, trying to imprison or kill those that didn't believe the way he believed. But then he met Jesus. Jesus came into his life. Jesus transformed him from the inside out. Paul was no longer the same man. In fact, he was even given a different name. His name before Christ was Saul. His name after Christ, Paul. Christ changes those he indwells. The Bible also says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world," 1 John. This was the personal testimony of the Apostle John. He was nicknamed, along with his brother James, the Sons of Thunder. But then he met Jesus. Jesus came into his life. Jesus transformed him from the inside out. John was no longer the same man. In fact, he had a different name. No longer the Son of Thunder. He was known as the Beloved Apostle. The Apostle whom Jesus loved. What a change it makes when we have Jesus inside. It transforms our lives. It transformed Saul to Paul. It transformed the Son of Thunder, which I think refers to anger, calling down the wrath of God on unrepentant sinners, to the Apostle of Love. And he can make those kinds of changes in our lives. What do we do? It's interesting. The incarnation was not something that Mary chose. Mary didn't volunteer. She was chosen by God. I'm not sure, they probably all had in the back of their minds that one day the Messiah would come. But who would think that I could possibly be the mother of the Messiah? And how that would change her life. When the angel, the messenger of God, Gabriel, came to Mary, she offered no resistance. The word of God came to Moses. And in a very real sense, he would give us the first five books of the word of God that we have today. But Moses came with a lot of excuses. "Lord, I can't speak. I can't lead. I'm just here. I'm a washed up shepherd in the backside of the mountain. And how can you use a person like me? Find somebody else." Mary offered no such resistance. Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." That should be our desire as Christians today. Lord, you live out your life in me. It's a mystery how he does this. Paul said so in Colossians 1:27, "To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Paul would later say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Is he alive in you today? Is there evidence? Is he coming out in your attitudes, in your actions, in your speech? Is he a part of your life in such a way that other people can see him living his life out in you? All we have to do is yield as Mary yielded her life. It's not something that we have to plead for. Jesus is knocking. And he's saying, "Can I come in? Can I be a part of your life? Can I change you from the inside out? Can I make you the type of person that I want you to be?" I've quoted a lot from Max Lucado. I'm not sure if he wrote the first poem, but he did write this one. to have my voice, but Him speaking. My steps, but Christ leading. My heart, but His love beating. In me, through me, with me. What's it like to have Christ on the inside? To tap His strength when mine expires, or feel the force of heaven's fires, raging, purging wrong desires. Could Christ become myself entire? So much Him, so little me, that in my eyes it's Him they see. What's it like to a Mary be? No longer I, but Christ in me. Think of the way her life was changed. It certainly wasn't a perfect life, was it? All of the ridicule of being an unwed mother, all of the sorrow that she had to go through because she was the mother of God's Son, the whole experience of Jesus on the cross, the greatest sorrow I think a mother could ever go through, Mary went through. And yet I'm sure if you asked her today, she would say that God had something better for her than the life that she had always dreamed of as a young girl. And that's the way it will be for each one of us when we choose to have this relationship on a day-by-day or moment-by-moment basis with our Savior. Fill me, Lord Jesus. I think Bob said it, and I hope I get his quote right. All of me and none of Christ. Less of me and more of Christ. None of me and all of Christ. Find us faithful. There are verses to this song, and I think the verses talk about, you know, when I'm gone, after my death, and my children are there going through what I've left behind. You know, what are they going to find? What are the possessions that I have that they'll be going through? And one of the things that I really enjoy going through are people's Bibles. You know, and when somebody dies and I go visit the family before the funeral, sometimes I'll say, do they have a favorite verse? Or do you have their Bible? And I like to go through and see the verses they've underlined. Or maybe in the front they've taken some notes and they've put down some things that are really important in their lives. But if something happened in our lives, you know, we would go see the Lord today. Your kids come and they're cleaning up. What would they find? Would there be evidence of your true love for the Lord and the stuff that you possess? Would they find that you've been faithful? May all who come behind us find us faithful.